The reading before the lesson this morning will come from John chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. John 4, 1 through 8. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food.
The blessing it is for us to be here tonight or this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. Thankful for everyone who is here, especially for those who are visiting with us. I want to let you know you are indeed our honored guests, and we are thankful for you being here on this morning. We had a great week last week, and it was a powerful week. As a matter of fact, the week was so encouraging that many were edified, and we know God was glorified. Brother Ryan, if you mind putting the screen up, thank you. If you're visiting with us, you'll see the QR code there, probably to the left of me, and you can gather the notes that we are going to be looking at on this morning. But we had a great week last week. Many were excited. They were pumped up. They were ready to get to work, talking to their friends and family about the risen Christ, the kingdom of God, the Lord's church. And Brother Rob Whitaker was with us and gave us some great tips on what we must do and what we can do and some things that he has done and members of the Lord's church have done all across the nation, across the country. And we were very encouraged by him, not just from his presentations that he gave us while he was here publicly, but I would have to say some of those private lunches that we had was just as encouraging, just as enlightening, and just as strong. And I guarantee you that if we took some of the things that he has said, the encouragement that he brought to us, that we ourselves will have more encouragement to go out and seek and save those who are lost, strengthening the brethren, strengthening one another, encouraging one another to get to work and to stay working. One thing that we are very blessed and fortunate to be here are members of God's people that don't mind working. And so when I think about what Brother Rob brought to us, he actually brought to us organization and how we can be better organized in the work that we're doing. And so hope, pray, and trust that the things that we are going to be discussing really for a few months, that we're going to be really honing in on some things that I believe will help all of us to sow the seed of the kingdom. And so Brother Rob, he suggested that we preach from John chapter 4 for the next 3-4 weeks. And so I'm going to be preaching from John 4 verses 1 through 8. Tobias is going to be preaching next week from verse number 9 to, I believe, verse number 16. And then I'll wrap it up the rest of the chapter. And so we're looking forward to that. And I believe that we're going to really be encouraged by the things that we have in store. This morning, I want us to talk about excited about sowing the seed. And before we can actually really get into that, I just want to spend about 4 or 5 minutes if we can. And I want us to consider some of the encounters that Jesus had according to John chapter 3. Now, you see in your notes there, Jesus's brief encounters in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, Jesus is talking to a man by the name of Nicodemus. You go back, read the rest of it. Really don't want to focus too much on this, but we want to transition into chapter 4. One thing that we see about John chapter 3, especially verses 3 and 5, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and telling him what he must do in order to see the kingdom of God and enter the kingdom of God. Jesus would use that same language in Matthew chapter 5 in verse number 20. He says to those on the Sermon on the Mountain, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Now watch this. You shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So whatever Jesus is talking about, Brother Leon, it has to be a talking about seeing or entering into the kingdom. And so Jesus, as he is talking to Nicodemus, he is telling him what he must do in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And he tells him that he must be born again. Born of what? Born of water and spirit. Peter would capitalize on this particular language in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to verse number 25. And we understand that being born into the kingdom, he's talking about being baptized according to the Spirit's teaching, according to the word of God, Ephesians 5 and verse 26. And so as Jesus is having this conversation with Nicodemus, he's prepping him for the kingdom of God. Jesus would call the kingdom of God in Matthew 16, 18 and 19, the church, the called out, the ecclesia. And so in verses 9 through 21 of John chapter 3, Nicodemus, he's struggling with this teaching. And as he is struggling with this teaching, Jesus is trying to always do what he is great at, and that is elevate man's thinking. You know, we still struggle with that even today. Men have their minds too low, if you will. And so Nicodemus is thinking that Jesus is talking about entering into his mother's womb the second time. Jesus said, I'm not talking about that. I need to elevate your thinking. I need to bring your thinking from a carnal perspective, a worldly perspective, a material perspective. And let me say this, all carnal thinking is not bad thinking. But in this particular case, he wasn't talking about the same thing that Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about being born of water and spirit. Nicodemus was thinking that one needs to grow back up into his mother's womb. And Jesus said, no, that's not the case. That's absurd anyway. There's no way that can happen. And so here, Nicodemus was struggling with that. And even when you think of us today, we still struggle with that even today. When we're talking to people, trying to get them to think from a spiritual perspective instead of a carnal perspective. But then we see in verses 22 through verse number 26, Jesus and his disciples are teaching the kingdom of God and repentance. And brethren, there's no way that one can enter into the kingdom of God unless they have a change of mind. And remember what John said in Mark chapter 1 and verse 14 and 15. What did John come preaching? He came preaching the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 4 and following. And so when we think about John and we think about John chapter 3, focus in on verse number 36. Because when we consider John's teaching and Jesus' teaching, they were really striving to get people to see things from a spiritual level. Because if not, they won't see life. In John chapter 3 and verse number 36, notice what is said here in this verse. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. When you look at the original language, especially the second part, he who does not believe, literally he who does not obey, shall not see life. He's not saying believe twice. What are we trying to do as we go out and we're talking to people about righteousness, morality, uprightness, the Lord's church, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? We're trying to get people to obey the Lord. But it starts with us. So look at John 4. When we consider John 4, Jesus broke down cultural barriers. One thing that I knew I didn't have to spend a lot of time with on this particular point is the idea of looking at people from a skin color perspective. We don't have that problem here. Praise God. I said, I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this point, but we're going to deal with the text and allow the text to speak. And so here, when we consider first John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, Jesus is breaking down the cultural doors. Seeking and saving the lost requires, notice, agency and authority. Look at verses 1 and 2 and appreciate Brother Lane reading the text for us on this morning. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Now watch this. Though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples. His disciples were agents of his. Just as Jesus was an agent of his Father in heaven, Jesus came teaching the kingdom of God and his own name, his authority, or the authority of his Father. Jesus was working for his Father, and we find the disciples, they're laboring for Jesus. Which means that the teachings of Christ were putting men and women in a position to be immersed. It was John's baptism, what he was teaching. Yet the disciples of Christ were the ones that were doing the immersing, but they were doing that because of the teachings that Jesus taught. And this is the same even for us. Because when we consider being agents of Jesus Christ, all of us who have been immersed into Christ, been baptized into Christ, we're agents of Christ. We're disciples of Christ. We're workers for Christ. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 7 and verse number 29 and 30. It's a good passage of scripture right here, because when you think about authority, John was preaching the authority of God. Jesus comes on the scene and he's preaching the authority of God. And we know that it was a group of individuals that did not submit to the baptism of John. Therefore, they were not submitting to the baptism or the authority of God. In Luke chapter 7, verse 29 and 30, I believe many of us, we skipped these verses right here. These are powerful passages. And when all of the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. What do you mean they justified God? Meaning they declared God to be right. They declared him to be right. Look at verse number 30. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. These Pharisees and lawyers, Brother Headache, did not declare God to be right. And so you have a group of individuals that declared God to be right. And then you had another group of individuals that did not declare God to be right, as if God didn't know what he was talking about. God was the one that told John to go and preach this message. God is the one that told Jesus to go and preach this message. And therefore, when one did not do what they said, they were rejecting the authority of God. And so seeking and saving requires commitment and courage. Look at verse number 3 and 4 of John chapter 4. Look at verse number 3 and 4. Because even we, as the members of the Lord's church, disciples of Jesus Christ, Christians, we are under the authority of Christ, which puts us under the authority of the Father, if you will. And verse number 3 and 4, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. When you think of Jesus and from a geographical perspective, he knew that in order for him to go into Samaria, he had to go up what is known as Mount Gerizim. Mount Gerizim is about 2,900 feet above sea level. By the time Jesus would get up there, he would be huffing and puffing, even in good shape. Why is that? Because anytime you think of a man, whether he's in good shape or not, it's going to require some energy to go up a mountain. Remember, we know that God put on flesh, John chapter 1, verse 1, John chapter 1, verse 14. So Jesus was God and man, which meant that he was just like us. He ate like us. He drank like us. He got tired just like us. But Jesus knew that I must go through Samaria, which required commitment and required courage, which required him leaving one place and going to another, which required courage for him going into a hostile environment. I don't think he saw it as hostile. Usually people don't go into hostile environments unless they just have to. You're in the military and you know that you have a mission. And that mission requires you to go into a hostile environment. You might lose your life because of it. But you go because of the mission is greater than yourself. Jesus, as he is going up Mount Gerizim, he's going to be going through Samaria. You know, there's some things that man just must do. There's some things that people must do. There's some things that we as the people of God, we just must do. Jesus said, I must need go through Samaria. You know, there's some racial barriers that must be crossed. Again, I thank God we don't have to deal with that here. But there are some that have to deal with that in our world. One thing I love about God, and I think about Galatians 3, and I consider verses 26 through verse 29, where Paul, by inspiration, said, for you're all the children of God by faith. For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. For there's neither Greek bond nor free, male nor female, Jew or Greek. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. You think of the racial identity that's in Christ. The Bible teaches us in Acts 17, 26, that we're one blood. Why is that so important? Because even when you think of the outward appearance of man, it really means nothing to God, because God looks at the heart. And we need to be looking at the heart as well. And so we see the beauty of being in Christ. There's some things that are just downright necessary. And so Jesus was committed. He had courage to go to a place where the Jews would not go. As a matter of fact, they would go around Samaria instead of going through Samaria. Brethren, we have to have the mentality and the attitude, the commitment and the courage to face those things that we probably don't want to do, but we go through the situation in order to get to the situation. Point three, look at verse number 4, 5, and 6 of John 4. Jesus overcame physical fatigue. You know, I want to spend a little bit of time on this point here. I think it's very important. In verse number 5 and 6, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Let's work backwards. So it's about the sixth hour. Jewish time is about noon. It's about 12 o'clock. Most likely it got a little heat, probably a little hot. Jesus again walks up Mount Gerizim, 2,900 feet above sea level. It's pretty high. Jesus gets up there and the Bible teaches us he's weary, which tells us he was a man. Nothing wrong with that. But as he is there, we see something that's very, very interesting. It was this plot of ground. This was a man that got tired. We think about sometimes as human beings today, we get tired. There are things that make us tired, especially when it comes to evangelism, especially when it comes to edification, especially when it comes to, now, excuse my terminology, dealing with people. Dealing with people makes us tired, Brother Royce. Dealing with people. But newsflash, we're people. Which means that it might be a little tough to deal with us too sometimes. You know, sometimes the toughest person to deal with is the one that I shave. And right now I don't have to shave nobody but me. Y'all get the point? It gets kind of tough to deal with people sometimes. And we're people. Here, we understand that Jesus was weary. Weariness is a part of life. I want to spend a little time on this point. Sometimes we get tired. I understand that. But the Bible teaches us in Galatians 6, verse number 9 and 10, not to grow weary in what? Well-doing. It is always right to do what is right. Sometimes the mind gets tired. Sometimes the body gets tired. Our emotions sometimes gets the best of us at times. And we have to ask ourselves, do I throw in the towel or do I continue to talk to people? Do I throw in the towel or do I continue to encourage myself, as David would say in 1 Samuel 30 and verse number 6? Do I get tired and give up on people, or do I continue to sow the seed of the kingdom and be excited about doing it? brethren, the more I thought about Jesus and I think about this particular title right here or this particular point, sometimes we get tired and people wear us out. But guess what we should do? We don't give up, we don't give in, and we don't give out. We maintain. We allow ourselves to be encouraged. Jude 20, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, allowing Acts 20 and verse number 32. Watch this, for the word of God to build us up. And so Paul would say, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, which tells me that even when I get weary, well, maybe what I need to do is go get some rest. Turn your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 6. I love Mark chapter 6, especially the verse that we're going to be looking at. In Mark chapter 6 and verse number 30, Mark chapter 6 and verse 30, then the disciples or the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Notice Jesus' response. He said, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Brethren, Jesus walked all the way up Mount Gerizim, Mount Blessing. And when he got up there, he was tired. He was thirsty. Children of God, Christians, we get tired sometimes because we're working out our salvation, Philippians 2:12. And every now and then we need to go get some rest. We need to maybe have a glass of water. Need to take a break. You know, there's nothing wrong with taking a break, Brian. There's nothing wrong with spending time by yourself, just you and God, or you and brethren that love the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. But the last thing you want to do is become tired and stay in that state. Because then you'll get nothing done for the Lord, nor for anyone else. Here we understand that Jesus told his disciples, this man of God, from God, tells his disciples, his apostles, let's go to a deserted place and let's go get some rest. Here's our point. At times we begin making excuses because we're tired. Brethren, what if Jesus made excuses after he gotten beaten and bludgeoned here on Golgotha's road as they beat him and he takes the crossbar all the way to Calvary? What if he would have said, you know, I'm tired. I don't want to go the rest of the way. And even though Simon the Cyrene was ordered to take the crossbar, he could have easily said, I'm tired. I'm not going the rest of the way. But he didn't. Brethren, once we obey the gospel, we need to keep going all the way. Amen. We go all the way. When the world makes you tired, guess what you need to do? You come Wednesday, Sunday, you call your brethren up, you get that spiritual strength. You get into the word of God. You meditate, you pray, you get that spiritual strength, and you continue to go forward. And brethren, all of us need to maintain that if we're going to be those who are excited about sowing the kingdom, sowing the seed of the kingdom. Because you can get tired, you can grow weary. But Brother Mike, you don't understand. I got problems. All of us got problems. Job 14, one man born of woman is a few days, full of trouble. We got problems. Brother Mike, I don't have enough time. You got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just like everybody else do. And therefore, use your time wisely. Brother Brian made an excellent point in Bible class as it relates to our time this morning. Brethren, all of us have 24 hours. All of us have 7 days. But we have to use it wisely. And you just can't be sitting back doing nothing. And so when we stop and we think about everything that Brother Rob helped us out with on last week, motivating us, encouraging us, and truly the motivation is in the Word of God. The motivation is seeing people actually change their way of thinking, change their way of living, and obeying the gospel. But even if no one obeys the gospel, we have to be content with just doing what God says. And so we have to learn that it's all right, even when we're physically, emotionally, and spiritually tired. We need to keep going forward. Well, Brother Mike, you don't understand. I talk to people all the time about the gospel, about the church, about righteousness and morality, and nobody wants to listen. Brethren, then keep on going until you find someone. Brother Rob, as he was here, he would always say, I got these. It was so funny. He would pull them out of his pocket. I got these right here. That was so funny. But guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to start keeping some of these. And I probably won't keep them in my pocket, but I'll keep them pretty close. Why is that? That man made an impression upon me. Hopefully he made an impression upon you too. So when you find yourself becoming fatigued and tired, and you don't want to sow the seed of the kingdom because, well, people are not listening. Well, just tell yourself, maybe there's one more person out there. Let me go talk to them. Maybe there's just one more person I can influence on my job. Maybe there's just one more person I can influence online. Maybe just one more person. Brethren, this is what we ought to be doing. And so if we're not doing that, we want to encourage you to do that. We want to encourage you to have your mind made up that you're going to keep on doing what you're supposed to do and allow God to give the increase. Brethren, no one in here, no one on the face of the earth, no one in the Lord's church is responsible for giving the increase. Only God. My responsibility and your responsibility is to sow the seed of the kingdom. Luke 8 and verse number 11, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. We have the responsibility of teaching and preaching and watering and planting. Yet God is the one that makes it grow. He's the one that gives the increase. And so just as John gives us this great narrative about Jesus and how he is in Samaria or going up this mountain, and now he is asking for water. Look at verse 7 and 8 of John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, notice what the Bible here says. Because Jesus engages in conversation and he sought opportunities. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Now stop. I went and I looked at that, Brother Royce, in the original language again, because sometimes you need to look at things again. And sure enough, it's in the imperative. Jesus wasn't asking for some water. He said, woman, give me something to drink. I'm thirsty. And I just thought that was pretty interesting. Here is the Son of God. Here is God in the flesh. And here's this woman up here. She's coming up here for her daily duties, if I can say it that way. And Jesus said, give me a drink. I'm thirsty. Oh, I wish I had the next part, but Tobias has that, so I guess he'll have the privilege of being happy and preaching now. I wish I had it, but anyway, I'll leave that alone. But he said, give me a drink. Jesus uses this as an opportunity to engage conversation. It made me think, what do we do to engage conversation? You know, when we're really interested in things, we find a way to bring that conversation to what we're interested in. Question, are we really that interested in helping people see righteousness? I believe we are. Are we really that interested in helping people see spiritual things? I believe we are. Here, Jesus engages this woman by telling her, give me a drink. Brother Tobias will be dealing with some things on next week, but let me give you a little prelude. Just a little prelude. So Jesus here says, give me a drink, physical water. Jesus is really bringing that conversation to spiritual water. Here, when we think about really being in tune with engaging people, which is going to require us to have some courage, require us to understand the scriptures. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to know a lot, but you need to know enough to bring this conversation to a spiritual conversation. And having the courage
to seek out those opportunities. And so his disciples went to go buy some food. Jesus uses this as the perfect opportunity to talk to this woman, to engage her. Give me a drink. Jesus was intentional. And brethren, we need to be intentional. That when we're talking to people, that we're looking for the opportunity. And as soon as they say something, as our dear brother Rob was giving us a little bit of encouragement, listen to what they're saying. Look at what they like and use that and bring that to the scriptures. Bring that back to God. Bring that back to righteousness. And remember in Proverbs 11 and verse number 30, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And he that wins souls is what, friends? Is wise. And so it requires wisdom. And so Jesus uses this as an opportunity. Give me something to drink. Establishing a relationship with this person. One thing I do love about Jesus and this text. Most people will look at Jesus and he's right here and he's alone with this lady. Oh, he shouldn't be there. He knew that this woman was going to come up there. And he knew what he was going to ask her. You know what that should tell us? We should know what we're going to ask people. We're not just coming off the cuff. We're thinking about, what am I going to ask? And what's my follow-up question? How am I going to be intentional? And so if you look at the last point under letter B, and notice that point, turning every life circumstance into an eternal life conversation by being intentional, by listening to people. Look at James 3. Look at verse number 17 and 18. In James 3, verse 17 and 18, one thing I do know about evangelism is that when you can take a situation or a circumstance, and remember Job 14, 1, man born of woman is a few days full of trouble. So we already know that life is full of troubles, but you can have a scripture or a context or an idea that you can help people come back to some type of solution, some type of help, some type of moral upbuilding, if you will. But why? How? With what? With the word of God, with godly wisdom, not your philosophy, not the philosophies of men. And there's a lot of that going on, even in the Lord's church. There's a lot of philosophy going on, but get back to the scriptures. There's a lot of principles being given, but get back to the scriptures. That's where it is in James chapter 3. Look at verse number 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Watch this. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. How do I know if I'm giving someone good advice, godly advice, it should meet these criterions? It's pure, it's peaceable, it's willing to yield. Brethren, when I consider life's problems with people, I always try to bring them back to what Jesus said, back to what the apostles say. And it's interesting that people will say, no, I haven't thought about it like that. Well, you didn't get it from me. I just gave you the scriptures. But a lot of times what we want to do is tell them, well, this is what I would do. Well, hold on. The one that created man and understands his constitution and knows that there's going to be problems and struggles in life, knows what to give us in order to help. But we have to go to the word of God. And so it's going to require us being bold as lions. It's going to require us as being wise as serpents, harmless as doves. It's going to require us being authentic. And so as we go out and seek and save the lost, as we go out and we are an influence, let's have courage. Let's be committed. Let's understand that we are the agents of God and that we speak from God's authority. And let's continue to be intentional and allowing God to work through us. And when people change their lives, if you don't get nothing, get this. Give God the glory. Oh, if it wasn't for me. No, if it wasn't for God. If it wasn't for God, Mike Bonner wouldn't be the person he is today. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be the person you are today if you're faithful to God right now. If it wasn't for God, give God the glory. Because when you give God the glory, then everything you think is in that prism, is under that realm, is for that purpose, giving God the glory. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll let you go. Holy God and Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We are thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful for his life, his love, and how he lived. We pray to Father that as we have talked about some great principles, some great truths in John 4, that we will be a people of courage, be a people who are striving to be committed, who understand that we are laboring for you and with you, who understand that we're under the authority of your Son. We're thankful for the life that he lived and the example that he gave and how he communicated with the woman at the well. Just the little things, Father, that we've learned. And we look forward to next week when we'll learn a little bit more about how he communicated and worked with that woman at the well. Pray to Father that we will do our part in understanding how intentional we should be as we go to work this week, as we labor among those who may not know your Son and who are not members of your Son's church. Help us, dear Father, to help people to be spiritual in their thinking, to help them elevate their thinking, to understand that you desire all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And Father, as we, as the congregation here, help us to do our little part in this town that we live in. We know that if we do our part, you will give the increase, and we'll be very careful to give you the glory. Father, we love you. We love your Son. We love your church. And we ask, dear Father, that you open up doors for us that we may at least have opportunity to have conversation and to seek those opportunities and make them good that you may be glorified. And even if no one obeys the gospel, Father, we pray that you will just be pleased with us as planters and waters, just doing thy will. Again, Father, we can't tell you how much we love you, so we just keep saying it. And we're thankful for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider studying God's word with us. By believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being willing to repent of sin, confess Christ to be Lord, and being buried in water for the remission of your sins. But maybe a child of God and you need special prayer. Won't you come forward as we stand and sing to save his invitation?